Take your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. This chapter has 56 verses in it, and it's just chock full of good stuff. Over the next few weeks, in fact, tonight we're going to talk about the First Ladies Missionary Society as we meet three ladies that were in that society. We're going to talk about the dirt parable. Many of you have probably heard it as the parable of the sower, but it's really a dirt parable. Also a light parable. And so we're going to hopefully get through all three of those things tonight. Then we're going to talk about a visit that Jesus' mom and his brothers came and tried to make with him. We're going to talk about Jesus telling the sea to calm down one stormy night. We're going to talk about the healing of a man and a drowning of a bunch of pigs. As Jesus did that. We're going to talk about a lady's touch of faith. And then we're going to talk about Jesus raising the dead as he raised the daughter of Jairus. So all those things found in Luke chapter 8. So a very rich chapter. You remember last week we finished up chapter 7 about the lady that came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the precious ointment. And so we start tonight in verse 1 of chapter 8, where it says, "And it came to pass afterward," after that event in the life of Christ, "that he went throughout every city and village." So he was on the move. He was traveling from city to city, from village to village. And he was preaching. He was preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He was sharing the gospel. Of course, he hadn't died on the cross yet. But all these folks that were saved at this time were saved looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on Calvary, just like the Old Testament saints were. He was getting closer and closer to that time. And then the Bible says, "And the 12 were with him." So the disciples, the apostles, the 12 men that he had chosen to be with him in a very special way were with him as he was traveling. And there were other people there. And this is where we meet three ladies. I call them, they were the first ladies missionary society because it was them and their giving that allowed Jesus and the 12 to travel and not have to work, to travel and preach the gospel. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities." And so they all had this in common. They were, and somehow their life was touched by Jesus Christ. He either cast demons out of them, he healed infirmities or sicknesses from their body. And three of them, their names are given to us. In verse 2 it says, "Mary called Magdalene." Mary was a common name back in the Bible, but she was from a place called Magdala. We don't know exactly where that place is today. In the Greek, Magdala means watchtower. And there were several cities back in that day that had watchtowers, so it could have been any one of those places. But it says, "out of whom went seven devils." And so Jesus cast seven devils out of this lady called Mary from Magdala. Some people think that this was the sinful lady that we met in the last part of chapter 7 that came and washed Jesus' feet and anointed him with the ointment. But there's really no basis for that. Several times in the Bible, we read about people that were demon-possessed, but that possession took the form of a physical affliction as opposed to immorality. And so there's really no basis. I mean, I think if Luke wanted us to know that Mary Magdalene was the woman that anointed Jesus' feet, he would have named her in chapter 7. I think this was a different lady. And Jesus had, again, cast the seven devils out of her and alleviated some, I think, physical condition. And so because of that, she was very devoted to Christ. And then in verse 3, "And Joanna, the wife of Chugza, Herod's steward," we don't know much about her, except we do run into her again in the last chapter of Luke 24. She was again mentioned with Mary Magdalene as one of the ladies that went to the tomb after the Sabbath to anoint the body of Christ. She was one of the ladies that got there and heard the angel say, why are you looking for him here? He's not here. He's risen. Many people think that Chuzza, the Herod's steward, and again, Herod was probably Herod Antipas, A-N-T-I-P-A-S, but some people think that he was the nobleman that whose story is told in John chapter 4, the nobleman that came to Jesus on behalf of his son. His son was sick, about to die. He came to Christ, asked Christ to heal him, and Jesus said, well, go home. Your son liveth. And so he turned around and went home, and on the way home, his servants met him and said, hey, your son's better. He's going to live. And the man said, well, what time did he get better? And the servants told him, and the man said, well, that's the exact time. It was to the moment, to the second, however you want to say it, that Jesus told him to go home. His son was going to live. And the Bible says he and his household believed. They all believed in Christ. They were all saved. And many people think that, again, that he, as the steward of Herod's house, so he was the manager of Herod's household, and that he allowed his wife to travel with Christ and to minister to Christ and the 12. And Susanna, and again, all we know about her is her name, and many others, and notice what they did, which ministered unto him of their substance. So they provided. They bought the food and prepared the food. They took care of the other needs that Jesus and the disciples had so that they could be, so that they didn't have to work, so they didn't have to make a living. These ladies used the resources that they had to allow Jesus and the 12 to be about preaching the gospel. What a wonderful thing they did to allow Christ and the disciples to do that. So in verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And so as he was traveling, he came to a place and a lot of people gathered out, and he told them a parable. Now, the next 12 verses, verse 5 down through verse 15, I think. I don't remember exactly. But the next 12 verses, he told the parable. Some call it the parable of the sower. I'm going to call it the parable of the dirt or the parable of the soils tonight. Jesus told this story. The word parable means a casting alongside. A casting alongside. And so a natural truth or an earthly truth is cast alongside a heavenly truth so that people can understand the heavenly truth as they understand the earthly truth. Somebody else has called a parable a handle by which you can pick up and carry a truth. It's sort of like I would say a parable is more than this, but sort of like a sermon illustration in today's world. It helps you understand the heavenly point of what Jesus was trying to get across. And most parables had one main point. Now, they had other points along with that one main point, but if you didn't get the main point, you were likely to get off in the dingweeds. You were likely to misinterpret and miss what Jesus was trying to teach you. And so we find on many instances, when Jesus told a parable, that his disciples came to him privately and said, and we're going to see it in this case, they came to him privately and said, can you explain what you meant by that story? Because they didn't want to miss it. And at this point in his ministry, because the Pharisees were coming after him more and more, he began to tell more parables. Because the Pharisees, their hearts were hard, they would miss the truth. But his disciples and those that were following him, because they were eager for the truth, they got it. They got it. So here's the parable of the dirt, so to speak. And I'll just read verses 5 through 8, the story, and then we'll read about the explanation that Jesus gave his disciples. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So a sower was somebody that planted. In this time, there were two main ways to plant. You could take a sack of seeds, cut a hole at each end, drape it over the back of a donkey, make the donkey walk through the field, and as he walked, the seeds would fall out the hole in the bag and be planted in the field. The other way was for the sower to put the bag over his shoulder, reach in with his hands, and broadcast or scatter the seeds. It was probably the latter, where the sower did it by hand, that Jesus was talking about in this story. Again, a very familiar sight to the people that were listening to him. They'd all seen somebody sowing seed. And Jesus said, as this man sowed the seed, that it fell on four different kinds of ground, four different kinds of dirt. Some fell by the wayside. Through the fields, most of the fields, there was a hard path that travelers were able to walk through the field. And so some fell near that path. As it fell on the path, people walked on it, so they trod on it. And since it was uncovered, birds would come and eat the seed. Some of that seed fell on rock or rocky ground. Israel has an underlayment, so to speak, of limestone. On top of that rock, the soil is very thin. And so as it was covered by that thin layer of soil, the warm rock made it sprout up very quickly. But because there was very little water in that thin soil, it withered away in the sun. Some of the seed fell among thorns. In other words, ground where there were thorns growing, where the roots of the thorns were in the ground. And that seed grew, but it didn't grow very much. And it didn't have very much of a harvest because the roots of the thorns choked it out, kept it from getting the nourishment from the soil that it needed. And so it bare, but the yield was very small. And then Jesus said some fell on good ground or rich soil. And it sprang up and it yielded 100-fold. In other words, it was a plentiful harvest. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian, there were plots of ground that yielded not even 100-fold, but sometimes 300-fold, because God blessed the efforts. And then Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you just read that and say, well, he that hath ears, well, everybody just about has ears. But he that has ears to hear, he that has an open heart, he that has a seeking heart, he that has a heart that seeks after God, let him hear. And that's what Jesus was saying. What I'm teaching is important. It's an important heavenly truth. I've told you a parable so that you can understand it, but I want you to listen and I want you to understand. So in verse 9, as they did on other occasions, his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And so Jesus explains it to him. He says in verse 10, and he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." You're my disciples. You're my followers. I'm going to explain it to you. And a mystery was something that was unknown up to that point that Jesus was going to make known. So he says, I'm going to explain it to you because you want to know. But to others, I'm not going to explain the parable. That they're gonna see, but not see, and they're gonna hear, but not really hear. Now that's what Isaiah prophesied back in the Old Testament, that when the Messiah came, he would say things. People would see him, but they wouldn't see. They would hear things, but they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't understand what they heard. And so he says in verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The seed is the gospel. The sower is not identified. Jesus doesn't identify the sower, so the sower can be anybody that spreads the gospel, anybody that shares the gospel with somebody else. And the different soils or the different grounds or the different dirt, so to speak, are the different kind of lives, different kinds of people, however you want to say it, that gospel hits. And Jesus says there's four kinds of people represented by the four kinds of dirt. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the wayside dirt, so to speak, is the hard-hearted. They hear the gospel, but their heart has been calloused. Calloused probably by rejecting the gospel over and over. And before, as they receive the gospel again, before it can sprout and take root, the devil comes and takes it away. And Jesus was actually talking about the devil. The devil takes it away because the devil doesn't want anybody to get saved. The devil doesn't want anybody to receive Christ. I mentioned that Sunday night. Everything God's for, Satan's against. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Satan wants everybody to be lost. Satan doesn't want anybody to go to heaven. And I want to remind you tonight, the easiest time for a person to get saved, believe it or not, is the first time they hear the gospel. First time they hear the gospel is the easiest time for them to get saved. Children who hear the gospel, once we can help them understand that they are a sinner and that there's punishment for that sin and that Jesus paid the punishment, they're eager to get saved. We've heard Kelly's testimony. We've heard some testimonies from Robin, some of the Awana workers, where they get to talk to children, even some of the older children who hear the gospel perhaps for the first time because they haven't been in church. With childlike faith, they believe the gospel, and they get saved. And the older a person gets, and the more times they hear and reject the gospel, the harder it is for them to get saved. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, I heard the gospel a lot, and I was 15 years old before I got saved. But it's harder, and the older you get, the harder it is because your heart is hard; it gets calloused every time you say no. And again, that's why, and I don't need to say it to this group of people because you know it. That's why it's so important for us to get the gospel to children. It's the time in their life where it's going to be the easiest for them to believe. You see, they get old and the world works on them and they get skeptical and they say, why would God do that for me? Why would he love me enough to do that, to send his son to die in my place? When they're a little kid, they don't try to figure it out. They just believe it. God loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me. And that's why it's so important for us to get the gospel to kids, to children. They need to hear it while they're young. The easiest time in their life for them to get saved is when they're young. And so we need to be about getting it. Now, everybody needs to hear the gospel, but we especially need to make sure that we get it to children. Verse 13, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, while for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. Okay? The rocky dirt, the shallow soil. They hear the gospel. They receive the word with joy, but it never takes root. They're superficial believers, but they never get saved. They hear the gospel. And it seems like they get saved, but they never get saved. And the Bible says they fall away, which means that those words fall away means to stand off from. Stand off from. So they stand off from God. Rather than following him, they stand away from him. And I don't need to tell you, we've all seen people that supposedly have made professions of faith, but then they disappear. They soon drop out. If a person got saved, they're going to stick around. They're going to persevere. Falling away or standing away from God is proof of no faith. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says this, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That word unbelief in that verse means no faith. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of no faith. It doesn't mean that you unbelieve something you once believed. It means you never believed it in the first place. So that's the rocky soil. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So the thorny ground are fruitless Christians. They're saved, but their salvation never takes root, so to speak, in their lives because the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world so entangle them that it chokes off the nutrients that they should have in their spiritual life. And as a result, they don't bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. And when I say fruits of the Spirit, I'm talking about other people getting saved. I'm also talking about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. And then verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The devil doesn't snatch it away. The sun doesn't wither it up. The thorns don't choke it off. They bear fruit with patience, with endurance. The fruits of the Spirit many times come through trials, come through going through the things that Jesus put in our lives so that those fruits can be developed. And it takes time. In many, many people, it takes time to do that. Now, I know we're out of time, but let me just finish up with the next three verses, 16 through 18. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Jesus is illustrating the parable, the truth of it, by saying, look, if somebody has gotten saved, if somebody has experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ, they won't hide it. They'll let it shine. They'll let it be seen. A light's not lit to be hid. It's lit so that it can shine. And so Jesus said, hey, beware how you hear. You that have a genuine experience with Christ, you're going to get more. You're going to get more. But one whose experience is superficial, you're going to lose even that which you seem to have. And so he said, take heed how ye hear. All right, we'll quit there. We'll start there next week, talking about the visit that his mom and sisters tried to make with him while he was going about from town to town. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.